Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
It's a blessing to be here. I haven't had a boss since 1983. So I like to call Pastor Kevin Boss Man sometimes. It's a real joy. And I haven't had a pastor, neither has Kim. We haven't had a pastor since 1994. So it's really good to have a pastor. Aren't you glad you have a pastor? Yeah. No pressure, all pleasure. Kim's especially glad to have a pastor. She has somebody to tell about me now, finally, after all these years. Well, I'm a little overprepared today. I'll just say that. I do have something in that box that I hope to show you in just a moment. It's probably going to be a little slide come up. It says, Strange Men in a Strange Land. And that's going to be where we kick off today. I'm just sort of bringing the introduction to all of this. And there's going to be a whole lot more, so don't miss the weeks to come. I just feel that I should begin by saying a word to those who have been in spiritual warfare this week. It's real. It's real. And I have learned that the enemy particularly hates this time of the year, because this is the time of the year more people statistically come to Christ. The Advent season. More people are open to hope. And so if you've been in a little bit of warfare, join a club. I know something about it. I sensed a little warfare this week. And yesterday I was here in the building praying. Actually, I prayed over your seat, wherever you're sitting. I've prayed for you. Why do I tell you that? So you'll be encouraged. But I was asking the Lord, what is all this warfare about? And it's like he answered me just very plainly. He said, my sheep know my voice. He said, well, you've invited five people to church Sunday. Why wouldn't you expect some warfare? Wow, I had never put that together. So keep inviting and keep fighting. It's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. I don't know who that was for, but I sense that that we just needed to hear that. Someone needed to hear that today. You're in warfare, and that's proof who you belong to. Well, if you have your copy of Scripture today, I invite you to open it or open the app or roll out your papyrus scroll, whatever you might have brought with you. And to Matthew chapter 2, and the series is around the first 18 verses. I'm going to begin with the first 12 today, and I probably won't cover them all, but I at least want us to hear them. We talk about strange men in a strange land, and of course we're talking about the Magi, and I'm sure you're familiar with them. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Easy Translation. Matthew 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem in Judea. King Herod ruled Judea at that time. After Jesus was born, some wise men came to Jerusalem from a country in the east. When they arrived there, they asked people, where is the baby who has been born as the king of the Jews? We saw his special star when it first appeared in the sky. So now we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard what the men said, he was very upset. All the people in Jerusalem were afraid too. Then Herod asked all the leaders of the priests and the teachers of God's law to meet with him. He asked them, "Where will God's Messiah be born?" They replied, "The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. This is what the prophet wrote about. People who live in Bethlehem, your town is a very important town in Judea. A person born in your town will become a ruler of my people Israel. He will lead my people like a shepherd who leads his sheep." Then Herod secretly told the wise men to come to meet with him. They told him the time that the star had appeared. Herod sent the men to Bethlehem. He said to them, "Go and look everywhere for this child. When you find him, come back and tell me where he is. Then I can go and worship him too." After the men had heard the king, they left to go to Bethlehem. They could see the same star they had seen before. They were very happy when they saw the star. It moved along in front of them. Then it stopped above the place where the child was staying. The men went into the house and they saw the child. He was with Mary, his mother. They went down on their knees in front of the child and they worshiped him. Then they opened their bags. They took out valuable gifts and they gave them to the child. The gifts were gold, incense called frankincense, and also myrrh. After that, God said to them in a dream, "Do not go back to see Herod again." So the men traveled on a different road to return to their own country. What a story. Lord God, we thank you today that Matthew chose to record this story. He's the only one in the Gospels who tells us about the Magi, the ones from the East who came. And we're so glad that we can begin to look at this during this season that we're in. Please be glorified today, Lord. Please be magnified. Please be lifted high. Please be satisfied. And the people said, amen. Well, back in 2009, that was a few years ago, Kim likes to go to that sale day after Christmas, you know, when all the sales kick in. And at that time, you know, I was kind of into it as well. And I was collecting, you know, I collect all kinds of things. But I was particularly collecting nativities. Some of you may remember that. And so we went over to Kirkland's in Charlottesville, and they were having a big sale. And they just had this one nativity. And I fell in love with it. And I thought, well, the last thing I need is another nativity. It's in here, I promise you. And, but you know, I just fell in love with it, and I love Christmas. It's like I'm unwrapping gifts, you know, that's the way we do it at our house. We just throw all the paper on the floor, pick it up later. But there's something about this nativity that kind of struck me. I call it my Epiphany nativity. Now, for one thing, the Christ child has a full head of hair. So that tells you something. Joseph, he's still looking Josephy. I mean, Joseph always looking good, holding the light over the one who is the light of the world. And then there's these three dudes who we just read about. Now, I wanted to own this because I didn't own an Epiphany nativity. You know, Epiphany, we celebrate on January 6th. That's why you don't take your lights down. Real Christians don't take their lights down till the 7th, January. Because you got to get to what we call back home old Christmas. I don't know if any of you ever had that saying, but where I grew up in North Carolina, we had Christmas, but then we had old Christmas, we called it. And that was Epiphany. And the idea is that that's the day that we remember that the Magi showed up. Now, what are you saying, Pastor Carey? Well, you've probably heard some of these theological debates going on, and I don't make a whole lot of it, but I kind of observe it, you know, just so I can have Christmas twice, which I really like. But the wise men were probably not there at the actual birth of Jesus. That's why Jesus has a full head of hair here in this Epiphany Nativity. They probably came later. As a matter of fact, most scholars agree that he was probably 18 months old at least when they finally arrived. Now, you're probably saying, Pastor Kerry, you're messing up my nativity. No, I'm not. I'm not messing up your nativity. Some people have asked me, Pastor Kerry, is it okay if I put the wise men in my nativity? Why, sure, it's okay. Don't let people mess up your nativity. Because the wise men are coming. They're on the way. Do you understand what I'm saying? They're on the way. They're coming to the story. They are part of the story. They are part of what story? The John 3:16 story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the Christmas story, and they are part of it. They come a little late, but they're right on time. You say, well, Pastor Kerry, I can keep them in there even though they didn't come the same night. Yeah, maybe you want to put them outside, you know, just show that they're on the way. Now, I want to show you a sample of what I'm saying. I heard at least one person go, oh, good reply. This is my dog story here. Now, it really makes no sense because Lucy never met Oreo. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when I commissioned a friend of mine to paint my dog story, I got them both in there at the same time. And in the background, you can see my 1994 Ford Rat Rod Ranger. Now, I will say that both of them love that truck, but at different times. So what am I saying? I'm saying that, yeah, the wise men were later, but they are still part of the salvation story, just like both of my dogs are part of my dog story. So I just want to get that out of the way because, you know, a lot of people have a lot to say about, well, when did the wise men come? But I believe that the strange men from the strange land were on their way the very night that Jesus was born. And so the story's happening. And if we had the wide angle view, we could see those from the east. And they are making their way to be a part of the story. Now, why would you say all of that? Well, I say all that to ask this question. Are you part of the story? Are you part of the Christmas story? The pastor was talking about the song we're going to end with. If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would know my part. But I come and bring my heart. So you see, we also are included in the Christmas story. Are we on that journey? That's really what I'm trying to say. Now, there's a song, some of you have heard it. I'm not going to sing it, but it's a great Christmas song. This is such a strange way to save the world. Have you heard this Christmas song? If not, please go YouTube it because it'll help you. It's from the perspective of Joseph, and he basically says in part of the song, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now, I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. And in this strange story, we have some strange men. And they are from a strange land. But the whole Christmas story is strange. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that it's strange? It's a rescue story. Which is another reason why I can show you my dogs. Because the one on the right is Lucy. And it was Christmas time 2016 when we rescued her. Butch remembers. He knows the story. And It's a rescue story at Christmas time. Well, that's why the story is so strange, because we needed rescuing, and God had a plan that the enemy could not figure out, and he pulled it off. And that's why we have Christmas. Would you look to someone and say, I'm glad we have this strange story. Just humor me. Yep. Even if you haven't spoken to the person you rode here with, just look to them now and say, I'm so glad for this strange story. Now, I want to put up another slide here, and I'm going to spend some time trying to answer some things. The rest of the message, we're going to talk about the Magi. And I have four questions that I kind of have posed here. Who, why, when, how? First of all, who are these strangers seeking the Savior King? Three words, the wise men. That's the answer. Who are they? The wise men. Wise is the opposite of foolish. So whoever the wise men are, they are not silly or stupid. According to my thesaurus, they are intelligent, knowledgeable, informed, astute, shrewd, sharp, knowing, sensible, prudent, discerning, perceptive, insightful, well-advised, rational, logical, sound, sane, and smart. That's who they are. They are the wise men. Were there just three of them? We don't know. Probably not, because they traveled in caravans in those days. But of course, we know there were at least three, or believe there were at least three. Why? Because they brought the three gifts, right? But it was probably an entourage that was with the wise men. How do we kind of know that? Well, they came into Jerusalem and everybody knew they were there. If three men just riding camels come into Jerusalem, no big deal. That happens every day. So they came with a whole lot of fanfare, a whole lot of excitement. Herod was really upset. But the part that is puzzling to me, so were the people. They were upset. They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, here come these wise guys from 1,000 miles away, and they are asking about our king, and they're afraid because they weren't even looking for him. It was a holy fear. Who are these strangers from a strange land who have come into our city of Jerusalem asking about where our king has been born? He's been born and we know nothing about it. We missed the whole thing. So who were these men? They were the wise ones. But the ones who were afraid, they were the silly, foolish ones, because they were not even looking for him. And you say, how could they do that? Well, there's a second advent. Do you understand there's a second advent? And this same Jesus who came to Bethlehem is coming again? How many silly and foolish people are there who are not even looking for him, not even expecting him? So that helps us understand it a little better. He's coming again. And he said these words, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that kind of worries me a little. And I pray into that. And I say, oh, Lord, when you return, find faith in me. Find faith in me. So that's kind of who they were. I could go on and on. Did I tell you that I'm overprepared for this message? I just want to make sure you understood that. They came probably from ancient Babylon. And I don't have enough time to go totally into that. But if you go to the story of Daniel in the Old Testament, you will be amazed at where these men came from. It's all there. It's all there in Daniel. Do you know that Daniel, some 500 or 600 years earlier, was in captive in Babylon? Daniel, the one who prayed, the one who was saved in the lion's den, saved from the lions, that Daniel, a man of prayer. Daniel prayed. He was praying through Jeremiah and Isaiah when the answer came from God to Daniel. And guess what was revealed to Daniel 500 or 600 years before the wise men showed up. Do you know what was revealed? Where the Messiah would be born. How he would be born. When he would be born. And also when he would die. Daniel prophesied it all in ancient Babylon. Do you know where that is? It's in the east. Daniel was captive. But King Nebuchadnezzar, he was having trouble with the wise men around him. They were not able to tell him the things he needed to know, dreams he was having, and so forth and so on. And word came to him that there was a Jewish man who could probably help him. That was Daniel. He brought Daniel in. Daniel prayed. God gave him the answers that Nebuchadnezzar needed. He went back and he told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream meant. He interpreted the handwriting on the wall. You may remember that old story in the Old Testament where the hand showed up and was writing on the wall, and no one was wise enough to interpret it except there was one who was. His name was Daniel. And as a result of those things happening in Nebuchadnezzar's reign, when his son Belshazzar became king, he was having a little trouble interpreting some things, and they said, well, you should get Daniel because he really helped your dad. And as a matter of fact, guess what Nebuchadnezzar did with Daniel? He put him in charge. He was the chief over the Magi. Daniel was the chief over the wise men. Daniel, 500 or 600 years before it ever happened. Daniel prophesied it. Now, all of these wise men who came in the line of Daniel, he became the patron saint to them. They studied everything for years and years, yes, thousands of years. Probably they're still studying what he said, but for 500 or 600 years, they were still under the tutelage of Daniel. Because Daniel, everything he had prophesied was correct. Everything he said was right. Even the Romans were aware of Daniel's prophecy. You see, God goes ahead of things. He puts things in order before they happen. And why do I know that the Magi, that they paid homage to Daniel in this foreign land in the east? Because Daniel saved their lives. Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all his wise men and all his Magi because they could not tell him what was going on. But when Daniel told them, he spared them all. There wouldn't even have been Magi left in Babylon had it not been for Daniel, a praying man who would go to God. He wasn't special. He just prayed. And he asked God, please give to me your answers. And God gave him his answers, and he took them to the king. Are you with me so far? Do you realize that these wise men, the only reason these foreigners knew anything or cared anything about a Jewish King of Kings and Lord of Lords was because 500 or 600 years earlier, Daniel had told them about it. And they didn't give up on what he told them. Who are they? This is who they are. This is who they are. They are not the descendants of Daniel. That's another story. Daniel was a eunuch. Now, I'm not going to go into that, especially in the service time. That means a lot when you're a eunuch. But one thing it means is you do not have a family. You do not have a family. And when the king put Daniel in charge over the Magi, he became a rich man. It says in the scriptures that he gave to Daniel many treasures. Listen, now I'm going to go out on a limb here because I've been deep in this week, and I believe the Lord's been helping me with this. He gave to Daniel many expensive treasures. It's in the scripture. I read it this week. You can go to Daniel and read it all. Could it be, I'm just saying, could it be, because these wise men were not kings, okay? We call them that, makes a nice song. They were not kings. They were magi. They were wise men from the east. They probably didn't have crowns on, but it's okay. Keep them on. It's okay. They were wise men. They were magi. Could it be that when Daniel was on his deathbed, he said, look, I have no family to inherit my treasures. Now, when this prophecy is fulfilled, I'm just asking, Could it be that Daniel said, you take my riches, you take my gifts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not going back to Israel, but my gifts can go. Is it possible? Look to your neighbor and say, is it possible? And now you know why they came late. They didn't come late. They came right on time. They came probably when Jesus was 18 months old. The night after the wise men came, Joseph had a dream. The angel said, take the Christ child and go in flight to Egypt. They were a poor couple. They couldn't afford to take a trip to Egypt. How do I know they were poor? Because a week after Jesus was born, they took him to the temple to have him dedicated, as all good Jews do. And guess what the sacrifice was they gave? Two turtle doves. You know what that means? They were poor. Poor people gave the offering of two turtle doves. So the wise men hadn't come yet because they would have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And frankincense more valuable than gold in weight. They were rich after the wise men came. But right after he was born, they were still poor because a week later they're at the temple and they gave two turtle doves. But on the day that the wise men came and they placed their gifts, they fell on their knees before the King of Kings. They left these expensive gifts. And then coincidence just means that God chose to remain anonymous. That night, after they are rich now, they're rich. They have gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are gifts of royalty. Well, Daniel was royalty. He was put on the king's court. They could have been Daniel's gifts. I just like to throw that in there. They could have been Daniel's gifts. The next day, they went to Egypt. God's always on time. They could have never made this trip if the wise men had not come when they came with the gifts. I'm sorry, I'm getting carried away. What time am I done? Okay, who? Well, I'm turning this into a series, except I don't have to preach the rest. Who? Now, how about when? I couldn't wait. The rest of the points are shorter. And I didn't read any of my notes. I just told you what I remembered. The second one is why. Well, that's an easy one to answer. I love the translation in the Message paraphrase. When the wise men first showed up at Jerusalem, you know what they said in the Message paraphrase? We are on pilgrimage to worship him. Why did they come? To worship him. To worship. It's the only reason they came. Who are they? The wise men. Why did they come? To worship him. Does that excite anybody except me? Do you know that Steve Thigpen and I, we're not three wise men from the East, but we are two wise guys from the West. You know, I don't know if you know this, but we take pilgrimage over to the Holy Land every time we get a chance. It's 6,000 miles from D.C. To Israel by plane, and we don't go there to prove we're wise, but it is a pilgrimage to worship him. We go to worship him. We don't ride camels, but we do go to worship him. We'd love to have you come with us sometime. Some people say, well, I can't afford to come. I said, well, sell your motorcycle. Okay. Who? The wise men. Why? To worship him. When? This won't take long. When? Well, you can go back. When did the wise men begin to worship him? Well, in Matthew 2, verse 16, the wise men had told Herod how long ago they had first seen the special star. So what it means is this. When did they begin to worship him? When did they leave where they were? When they saw the star. Oh, man, I wore the coolest coat I have because Kevin is so cool. When? Oh, I'm going to show you. Immediately. When they saw the star. You know what it says on my shirt? Tonight we ride. There was no delay. Tonight we ride. I know you want this shirt. eBay. You can find it. eBay. Tonight we ride. They didn't put it off. Not worshiping him. They didn't delay it. They said, right now, saddle up. Tonight we ride. Tonight. We ride. Who? The wise men. Why? To worship him. When? Tonight we ride. But I want to get to how. And the best way I know to get to how is to set it up with this very short clip. I know that Pastor Kevin likes Kevin Costner clips, so I did it just a little better. I got a little bit of James Earl Jones too, so I want you to watch this. Field of Dreams.
Moonlight Graham.
Son.
So what?
Son. New York Giants, 1922. We played one game, never got to bat. You saw it.
What did I see, Ray?
Chisholm, Minnesota. We were the only ones who saw it. Did you hear the voice, too? It's all right to admit it. It's what told me to find you. Did you hear it?
Go the distance.
Yes. Do you know what it means?
Yes.
What?
It means we're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham.
Who? The wise men. Why? To worship him. When? Tonight we ride. How? Go the distance. Go the distance. 1,000 miles on camels was not too far. They were going to go the distance to worship him. Are we willing to go the distance? Whatever it costs us, whatever suffering may come our way, whatever hardship may be ours, Christmas asks us, Advent asks us, will you go the distance? Is he worthy of all your worship? Is he worthy of all your praise? Will you go the distance? I have been moved this week. I preached this message to 4 people already because I'm so moved that the wise men were willing to go the distance. But it doesn't end there. When they had gone the distance, they fell at his feet and they laid their best at his feet. They laid their lives, they laid their treasure at the feet of King Jesus. And I believe today he's asking, will you go the distance? Do you know that Jesus was willing to go the distance? Have you thought about it? From heaven to earth. This king had already gone the distance. He had already earned the Magi coming his way. He had gone the distance. But the question the Lord has placed in my mind this week has been this question. Is it further from heaven to earth or from Bethlehem to Jerusalem? That's a long distance for Jesus. From this babe who was born, he went the distance to die in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he was born to die, and he was willing to go the distance. I don't know today if you're having any trouble going the distance. Lauren L. Harris has a song. It's titled, Were It Not for Grace. And one of the verses, I just have to read it. It's about Jesus going the distance. And when Jesus saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven so I would not be lost. He went the distance. And Christmas asks us, with the story of the wise men, not to mention Mary and Joseph, went the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He's asking us, will you go the distance to worship me? And this Christmas season, I just have one question. Do you want to be willing to go the distance? Do you want to be willing to go the distance? Are you having trouble with your desire to go the distance? It's okay. Are you willing to be made willing to want to go the distance? And so I requested this song because it's like my favorite Christmas carol. It actually is not a new song, even though I never heard it till James Taylor recorded it. But it was written in like 1872. It was a poem written by Christina Georgina Rossetti. It was a poem that became a hymn of the church and eventually a carol of Christmas. And maybe you're in a bleak place. Maybe you're in a dark place in your faith. Maybe it's winter time in your life. But you're like, Pastor, he is worthy, and I want to be willing to go to distance. So I would invite you today, if you would like to be willing to go to distance and not miss Christmas this year, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and you'd be willing to go to distance to worship him, as the song is being sung, just stand where you are and let that be your witness today that you're worthy. He is worthy, and you are willing to go the distance.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.